Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Thank you for listening to Knocking Doors Down, brought to you by KDD Media Company.
Drinking's not an option today. I am over 21 years old. I have enough money in my pocket where I can go and buy alcohol. It is an option.
Right.
I, thankfully, today have been given the power of choice. I can choose not to drink and use today. That is recovered. I have been restored to sanity.
And we thank you guys for listening on Apple Podcast app and Spotify, where you can now leave us a rating and review on both of those apps as well. We're, of course, on Google Podcast, pretty much every podcast app out there, so you can get us. And you can also go to our YouTube channel, check out short clips, and join the premium channel, 99 cents a month, for the unedited, commercial-free interviews.
If you're a visual person like myself.
That's right. So all the interviews of the past episodes and this one are currently up there for your viewing if you join. And there's also clips from the videos as well. So, hey, check it out. And, of course, check out 5150 LTM. We couldn't do any of this without them, could we, Uncle Mikey?
We could not.
The 5150 LTM lifestyle brands, hats, shirts, t-shirts, sweatshirts, sweatpants. I got some cool camouflage one because you know I like my camo, and so much more. So, hey, hit that link in the podcast description. Get yourself 20% off for being a listener of the podcast.
How, Jason?
Use the code KDD20. That's KDD20, and that's all you got to do. 20% off.
Sick.
Here's part two of our conversation with Sonny Mayo.
The help, the way it helped me, my sponsor now, was he would say the God I do business with, and somehow that just made sense to me.
Love it.
Yeah. That just made sense to
me. Yeah,
man.
Because it makes sense.
You know, do I enjoy going to church services? Yeah, there's some great people that
I like it sometimes too.
Yeah, some amazing, beautiful knowledge. But when it was that, dude, it's a God you do business with. I don't care. If it's this awesome poster right here or whatever it is, but do business.
Right, but I had to do action before I could do business with this understanding. I needed... I'm a finite being. I couldn't create an infinite God.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And people talk about it has to be big, or it has to, you know, there's a God. All you need to know is there's a God and you're not it. And it's like, nah, man, sorry. There's way more than that. Talk to me about atoms. Talk to me about quantum technology. Sorry, man. This, you sound like my grandfather.
Yeah.
You're just saying it. You just smoked crack and he didn't. And so you saying, oh, you just got to know. Sorry, man. It's not. I need more. I'm not saying that. And some people go, well, oh yeah, you're not it. And I'm like, excuse me. I never thought I was God. Pardon. Right. I don't know if you did, but if you did, that's on you. Because I never thought I was God. Mm-hmm. I did, if you will, try to play God in a way, trying to control everything.
Yeah.
Right. Trying to do things that were beyond my capacity. Mm-hmm. But I never thought I was God. I was never like, oh, I'm God. So that doesn't apply to me, man. Mm. There's not a one size fits all. Even the 12 steps, when you take them, the 12 steps are this set of actions, but the person who's taking them, like if you have you're tall and lean, if there's a guy who's 5'3 and stocky, you guys work out in the same way. It's not going to, or even like Bruce Lee said, like study different martial arts, yeah, because a guy who's 6'5 is not going to do well with Wing Chun. And a guy who's, you know, but, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for the small guy is going to work better than, yeah, right?
Almost then, where he came with the be water, the fluidity
right.
of it.
Find the way, find the, yeah, be water, my friend. Right? Exactly. And so, as I started taking these steps, man, and being open to, being introduced to, because that's what it says in the book. The book, the purpose of this book is to introduce you to a power greater than yourself. It doesn't even say God until the steps. Power greater than yourself that will solve your problem. It doesn't say problems. It says problem, which is with the one singleness of purpose is we're talking about alcoholism, the condition of alcoholism. So I take these steps and then and I actually get introduced. I don't have to find God. Guess what? God is not lost. I was and am still at times. So I took these steps and then these amazing things started happening. Different behaviors. I started thinking about things differently. My dog, that same dog that you got to go, but your dog can stay. He got sick. I was working at an animal hospital. They started to, I worked at two animal hospitals at the time, actually. And he got pancreatitis. He was a boxer. He was so fit. He was like, you know, big old lips and sweetest dog, Shay. And we were doing these tests and he had pancreatitis. And like, you know, it's pretty treatable, man. It's a serious condition, but you give him IV fluids, don't feed him for 2 or 3 days. Everything levels out. His wasn't leveling out, man. He wasn't. And I had a team of doctors who looked at me and they were like, we don't know why he's not getting better. And my heart dropped into my belly. I was just like, fuck, my dog is gonna fucking die, man. I was at this animal hospital where I was working. I went in the back room, this like a back room, this grooming area where there's water and dirty shit, you know, dog hair and cat hair. I fell to my knees. I wasn't even aware of this. I fell to my knees. I prayed to a God I never knew, didn't believe in even. And I said, please help him. And I wept and I said, please. Please help my dog, man. Anything you would give me, give to him. I didn't know I was doing it, you guys. And I went back to work. Huh. Next day, his vitals start to get normal. He actually gets better. A couple weeks after that, I'm sitting with my sponsor. He's fine. A couple weeks after that, I'm sitting with my sponsor. This is where my sponsor pulled it out. He's like, what about this and that? And I'm like, you know, nature and the tides and the cosmos and shit. But nothing was like landing with me. And I wasn't really like desperate to find God. I was just like, yeah, let's talk about this shit. And then he goes, hey, how about this? When Shay was sick, did you pray for him? And I went, ooh, I did. And I realized, and I went, oh God, I did. And he goes, you're gonna pray to the God that saved Shay. And I went, I know exactly where that is. Where it whatever.
Yeah.
You know where it is? Right here. In my heart, human heart. In my love for this creature, this innocent, truly innocent creature. Who had nothing but innocent love and pure joy and with me. To say unconditional love is to say that he was a boxer and he was a dog.
Right.
Like unconditional, love is unconditional by nature. If there's conditions, it's affection, it's not love.
Right.
Or it's like, whatever, right? Yeah. It's affection, infatuation. But I was like, I know where that is, and it was here. It's on the mountain too, and in the cosmos, and in the depths of the sea and whatever. But it's here and it's in your eyes and it's in your love for your dog or your children or and me too, right? And so I was like, I don't know exactly where. So I started praying to that God, dude. And then sure enough, like a week or two later, Shay got sick again, man. He was not getting better. A week later, he was skin and bones. We were going to take him in for an exploratory surgery the next day. I climbed in the cage with him and I kissed his big stupid face, his awesome lips, and I chewed on his face. I love this fucking dog. And I was like, thanks, man. Thank you. For introducing me to God, that I spell with a capital D. My dog with a capital G and my dog with a capital D. I mean, my God with a capital D and my dog with a capital G, right? Literally, whoever created the word dog and God, thank you. It works for me.
I'm obsessed with my dog, so I'm totally, I really am.
That's almost need a tissue one.
He's usually the crier, but when it comes to animals, that's, oh, I'm obsessed with my dog.
Yeah, it was a tough thing to travel because he had his dog at home, Lola. I love it.
Yeah.
We got a cat and a dog.
I love cats too. Lola.
That's Lola Holy.
Yes, finally.
Exactly who it was.
Because I always do that when people say Lola, and they're like, well, I like the name. Yes.
It was after that's exactly where we named her from.
She's hugging Mario.
She's hugging her little Mario. I'm obsessed with this dog. I don't like coming to LA on these trips because I hate leaving her. She stays with my sister because she's a Chihuahua. She didn't like anybody except me and my sister. So that's why I'm just like, as long as my sister's there, then that's fine. But if my sister cannot watch her, then I'm not going.
Word.
I won't go.
Uh-huh.
I'll stay home with her.
Yeah.
Because I won't have fun knowing that she's being watched by somebody she's terrified of. She's just miserable. I can't go have fun. I'm not a psychopath. my dog's, you know, suffering. Screw her. I just won't go.
Yeah. Well, man, there's that thing. I found it.
Wow.
And, you know, so it's in that purest form of dog, you mm-hmm. know, the consciousness, the behavior, the action, not just the sentiment.
Mm-hmm. And I've never heard that. And the other thing you said that moved me and kind of helped me with some of those maybe even negative bonds or toxic things was like, you know, where it would be like somebody would tell me or meet me even telling them like, well, I love you, but, and it's like, whoa, no, that's not love. That's affection. There's a condition to it.
Yeah.
And I didn't put anything on it until you said that. So thank you for sharing that. And I hope people picked up on that.
Yeah, man.
Because I'm still learning boundaries and that part definitely being that, you know, the people pleaser or something. It's like, I don't know, your life is going to lead you to a better place. I don't have to, all, you know, I can reach out, hey, how's it going? But I have a habit of like, here's information that worked for me. Here's it, you know, and it just.
Do this, do this.
Yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe it's, you know,
I'm still working through that too with my mom. Like, I'm Mom, you should do therapy. And she's like, I don't need therapy. I'm like, yeah, you do. But then it's not good.
Everyone can benefit from therapy. Yeah. Everybody.
I agree with that. And it's about finding the right therapist.
Exactly. Because there are wrong therapists for you.
Yeah.
There, you know, one that you love could suck for me and vice versa. So, yes, I 100% agree with that.
My therapist isn't sober, and she has an understanding, but that's not why that's not why I'm going to therapy.
Right.
I go to AA. I'm clean and sober. I've recovered from alcoholism.
Yeah.
I'm going to her because I have trauma.
Sure.
Because I have anger. Because I have fear. Because I hate myself sometimes when I wake up in the morning. That's why I'm in therapy. Not, I don't need my therapist to get me sober.
Even after 19 years, you still struggle with that? I know I do.
Yeah, man.
I do. There's like times, you know, the revamping of the past, you know, and it's. The more time I get to, you know, recalling of, man, oh, Jesus, I treated that woman like a piece of meat. And, you know, I was, you
it know, comes up.
For someone else to fulfill me.
Oh, and, buddy, you got way more coming
so
for you.
It's like, you should read some of my journal stuff. You know, thank goodness I have a woman that's just full of grace in my life now. But it's like, yeah, some of it that comes up.
We're human, bro. There's a guy called Bob Timmons who, if you ever read, like, Scar Tissue or Heroin Diaries Chris Cornell, he worked with Aerosmith. This guy Bob Timmons was instrumental in helping these guys get sober back in the day and helping
because he worked with the crew just before.
Oh, you do know who Bob Timmons is. Yeah,
Dr. Feelgood and
and he said to me one day, man, this is when I had like 4 years, I think he passed away when I had around 5 or 6, 2005 I think he passed away, 2006 anyway. Like I was hating on myself one day. I was like, Bob, piece of shit. And he's like, Sonny. He goes, bro, the best we can hope for is to be human. Mm-hmm. And he said that, and I went, oh, man. So I'm an alcoholic, and I've been so clean and sober for 19 years. Does that mean that I don't have any problems? No. You know what it means? I'm a normal person. I'm normal. I'm not a normal drinker.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. But I'm a normal person. In fact, in the big book, it says about, in the 10th step, it says about living life and being able to actually have sanity return.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause sanity returns when we take these steps and we get to step 10 and continue to do this thing. If, you know, if I do the stuff, the things that are said in the book, they happen for me. I don't always see them until I look back and go, oh, that was happening for me. But in step 10, it says, for by this time, sanity will have returned. If we're tempted by alcohol or anything else, we recoil as if from a hot flame.
Mm-hmm.
So someone can say, hey, man, do you want a drink? And I go, no, thanks. Probably that's what I probably said to you back
then. Yeah, yeah.
No, thanks. Just like if they said, hey, do you want some half and half in your coffee? And I don't drink milk. So I go, no, thanks. Mm-hmm. And I go, no, I'm vegan. I don't drink. Although some vegans do that.
A lot of vegans do that, yeah.
Hey, do you know how you can find, you know how to tell if somebody's vegan?
No.
Just wait like 10 seconds, they'll tell you.
Yeah. Or does CrossFit.
That's the CrossFit other one.
Vegans.
Boom. Right. That's exactly
right. Bro.
What's the third one?
Bro, I did. What would be a third
yoga,
one?
We talked about it in the car.
What did I say?
Well, it's what did Bitcoin. I said?
I have Bitcoin.
What did you come up with? Oh, yeah,
sober.
Crypto.
Sober. Maybe sober.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, sober
like,
too.
So it's like, I'm a vegetarian, or I'm a vegan, gets worked in everything. I do CrossFit, gets worked in. I'm sober. I'm sober. Oh, it gets worked into everything.
I don't drink.
I think I've noticed that too.
Oh, man, my foot hurts. Yeah, my foot hurts, but not as bad when I was in my addiction. When I was in my addiction, I was just like, where the fuck did that come from?
What does that have to do with anything?
Would you stuff something in your mouth? The other thing I've seen, though, is when I have been in a setting and talking with like a social thing at someone's house. It happened, Jesus, what was this, a couple months ago? And we were talking about spirituality, our differences, and you know, hey, Carl, I don't remember the dude's name. He's like, oh, I'm an atheist. So atheists do point it out, too. They will throw it out there.
That's true. They do talk about it a lot as well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm getting better about that, though. I don't bring it up as
It's not like
much.
It's a bad thing. I'm glad you're sober. Right. You can talk about it. I don't care. But it gets brought up often.
I think I do it with you because I trust
That's new, man. Under 2 years?
Sure. And that's, I don't say, like, will you shut up about it? No. It's like, I embrace it. I'm like, good. I'm
it's
glad
a new way of life. Yeah.
Well, when we met,
he didn't know because I didn't say
right,
it.
Right.
Because it was just part of my deal.
Yeah.
Well, for sure. and you know, my assumption too, you know, being whatever 20 something I was.
Rock and roll, baby.
And he, you know, you stepped in when we met.
Slugs all over the mirror.
You know, but when you stepped in to, you know, Seven Dust, like I had hung out with those guys.
Ooh, Vince and I were
drinking buddies.
Oh, Vinny, you hung out with the boss.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was like, they did a show. It was when Seasons came out. We had a show for the radio station I was working at the Catalyst in Santa Cruz. Him, me, and then a dude I worked with, we sat up and Vinny pulled out the huge bottle of Grey Goose and my buddy Ryan goes, I'll be the driver tonight, and we finished that fucking thing. And here's the sun coming up, you know. And
Mikey, Vinny, would throw down.
Yeah,
and Vinny
from Seven Dust,
the bass player.
Gotcha. We met Vinny's. When I joined Seven Dust. When Clint Lowry left, I joined Seven Dust for 3 records, and then Clint came back. But I had partied with them too, like Snot and Seven Dust.
Oh, I'm sure
toured together, and we were like, I rode when we toured one time. In fact, it was funny. We toured. It was Seven Dust, Snot, and Head PE. That was 1997. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I played in all 3 of those bands. At different times, obviously.
Right.
But I would ride in Seven Dust bus more than I would ride with Snot. Yeah, I was the guy who could find the... Booger Sugar.
The Devil's Dandruff.
Yeah, the Devil's Dandruff.
But that was a lot of my first, you know, exposure to it.
Yeah, so you were like, this guy probably
yeah,
parties.
That's what I just assumed. Yeah. You know, it's like, I've sat
here. Fair assumption.
And had drinks with all the guys, you know, previously in the band and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But hey, shout out to Clint.
I had to tell them, like,
his ways too.
I had to tell them, like, you guys don't have to worry. You can have booze on the bus. If you're going to smoke weed, maybe just do it in the back. And so cigarettes and weed were in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they had been trying to help Clint for a long time.
Sure.
And so they had actually been, and I'm sure Clint would talk about this, they would go out of their way to, like, dry bus, and then Clint would go to somebody else's bus and drink.
Yeah.
So when I joined the band, they had, like, some, like, God, another sober guy.
Right.
Or, you know, is he really sober? And so, but I really was. And then Clint got sober and then came back.
Yeah.
But I was like, y'all don't got it. You don't have to tell people I'm sober. You don't have to talk about it. Like, it's just... It's like, again, it's like saying, you know, I do CrossFit.
Right.
Like, you don't got to bring it up. Right. You know, like, people don't talk about their little intimate things or whatever, lifestyles, unless it needs to be addressed. I was like, you guys don't worry about me. Just act as if.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all be adults. I'll take care of my shit.
Yeah.
Right? I'm the one responsible for me staying sober or not. No one else has to do it. My friends don't have to stop doing what they do. Like, you don't have to stop. I may choose to stay out of it. Or, man, you know, I'm gonna hang out because I can hang out.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a couple times, like, we did a Snot reunion in 2000, I think it was 2009. We played in Vegas one night, and I hung, man. I like hanging out. I don't really gamble, but I like hanging out and having fun. And so at the end of the night, most people, including my girl, were hammered. So I load my girl into the bunk. Everybody else is getting in the bunks, and I realized the door to the front lounge was open, and the front lounge was empty. And the door to the back lounge was open, and the back lounge was empty. Everyone was in their bunk except for me. And I was like, I'm the hardcore motherfucker here. I'm hardcore. In fact, one time with Seven Dust, we were opening. It was my last tour with Seven Dust in Australia. We were opening for what's that guy's name? Ozzy Osbourne?
Yeah.
Yeah. Opening for Ozzy. And, Zach was on one in that one. So we were playing shows with Ozzy. So we opened for Ozzy at this arena in Sydney. And this guy that I know who used to be, well, I don't know if he still claims it, but this, you know, famous country artist who may or may not have been from Australia talked about being sober at some point. Yeah. And I would see him sometimes, and I was like, hey, I'm going to Sydney. He's like, you got to go to the Good Day Cafe, bro. Go to that meeting, 7:30 a.m. on whatever day. And so I played opening for Ozzy one night. The next morning, I get up at 6:30 a.m., grab a coffee. And I know Sydney pretty well, the inner harbor, I mean, the harbor and shit like that. I've been there a few times. So I knew exactly where to walk, and I went to this place called The Rocks, and the Good Day Cafe was there, and you go downstairs, and bro, it was so dope. It was, you know, you guys know that Australia was like a penal colony. Like Captain Cook was a monster, killed brown people because they're whatever. And so, but they had these like, and it was like prison people that would go, you know, prisoners. And so there were bricks laid in this basement that had people's names in them from like fucking 18, whatever. It was so cool. And so anytime somebody in that meeting would say, this is my home group, people, it was at this place called The Rocks, which was the Good Day Cafe in The Rocks, which was like this big granite slab that they first started to settle in back when the colonizers came. And so anytime you say this is my home group, they pound on the table and they go, solid foundation, solid as a rock. And they did that, and I was like, oh, I want this to be my home group. And so I asked, can this be my home group too? And they went, solid foundation. And so I'm walking back to the hotel, and I'm thinking, those dudes, Benny's probably still up drinking. Those guys are probably passed out until 2 p.m. I'm the one who's hardcore. That's not hardcore what I was, it's like self-destruction.
Yeah.
But it's not hard, it's hardcore.
Yeah.
Discipline is way more hardcore than oblivion.
This is true.
Yeah.
And it's a hard,
discipline over oblivion.
It's a hard thing to acquire, but it can be done. And it's you know, it's fundamental. Like reading.
Yeah, and I'm not bragging. I'm a fucking human, and I might be vegan, but I'm not that. But I'm thank you. I just want to make sure that you don't take it. I might be vegan, but I
don't take it that way.
Yeah, don't take it that way. I don't eat. I'm not only always eat healthy. Right. I love ice cream, man. That's a really good fatty ice cream by this company called Lewin's. There's this pistachio and a mint chip. It's so fucking good, dude. I'm gonna eat a whole pint when I get home.
The good kind of ice, not like that yogurt stuff.
No,
the ice cream. Oat
milk.
Oat milk.
Oat milk.
Got you.
Sorry, vegan. Yeah. He even says it.
I don't think I knew they made it with oat milk. I'm sure they had ice cream that appealed to vegans, but I didn't know oat milk.
Cashew milk, coconut milk.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Soy, I'm not into soy. Even almond, I'm not really.
I like soy.
I love almond milk.
I'll do coconut.
Have you done oat?
I have not.
Bro,
I hate soy milk.
Bro, step into the oat milk realm.
I'm down to try it out.
Give it a try, yo.
I'll give it a try. I usually like coconut milk creamers.
Me too. But then I found this one called Sown, I think. S-O-W-N.
Uh-huh.
Bro. Because I would do the So Delicious vanilla French vanilla, I'm sure this is really interesting, French vanilla coffee creamer. And then my niece, who's vegan, she was like, check this out, dude. And it is oat milk, and it is so fucking creamy and yummy. I love coffee, too. I do a lot of caffeine.
More with Sonny Mayo coming up, including those fun random questions, what he's doing in Rock to Recovery, where he's actually going out to treatment facilities and working with people that have either addiction issues, trauma issues, and they're actually creating music regardless of their skill level, plus fun random questions, and Sonny leaves us with words of inspiration.
5150 is a lifestyle. We believe in pushing yourself, finding your passion, knowing your dreams and working hard, and always striving to make those dreams your reality. We believe life is too short to sit back and say, what if? Go after it, grab it, and make it happen. Being 5150 is committing to that long, hard road. That road you know is going to be tough, but the most rewarding. That's living the madness. That's 5150. If you're living the 5150 lifestyle, then celebrate by rocking the goods. So listen up, there's a special deal for listeners of Knocking Doors Down. Go to 5150LTM.com and enter code KDD20 and receive 20% off your purchase. That's 5150LTM.com.
So we gotta ask, like, how'd you meet Wes? Rock to Recovery,
oh my goodness,
man.
Well,
and I'm pretty sure I've met him, but I'm pretty sure I was probably not of sound mind then.
Potentially.
Knowing me backstage at shows.
Right. So then, all right. So going back into the 90s, I was in Snot. When we started to play in Hollywood and get into like the more southern scene, because we were from Santa Barbara, LA, and then we started to dip down into Orange County and stuff. So actually, when I first moved to Santa Barbara, I don't know if it was a month or two after I moved here, we went down to see Deftones play at a place called what was it? So it was in Long Beach, like Bottom of the Hill, or that's in San Francisco.
Yeah, Bottom of the Hill. Yeah, I saw Danko Jones there.
I did. Fucking see awesome. We played with Deftones. Snotin played with Deftones there.
That's awesome.
I'd love to see Danko Jones at the bottom of the hill.
God, he's amazing.
Oh, Foothill. Anyway. It's called the Foothill.
Foothill.
Long Beach Foothill.
I know what you're talking
about. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for going for that with me.
So no, I actually know what you're talking about.
You know the place.
About.
Yeah. So we went there, and we went in, and there was 12 people, including us, the four or five of us that came. And the band that was opening for Deftones, who at that point, Adrenaline wasn't out. Lynn had the demo and was playing. I was like, God damn, this band's fucking good, man. It was original with Chino with the like real sad, sweet, sexy vocals over the heavy guitars. I was like, oh shit, okay. Like that was new to me. I was like, damn. And we went and this band was opening for Deftones called Head PE. Or it was called Head at the time. They didn't have the PE yet. And there's a rapper and there's a DJ who's doing sparks off the damn turntables and the guitar player's doing crazy whammy pedal shit. And I'm just like, oh my God, we got to go back to the fucking lab and get crazy. We got to get to work, y'all. Mm. And then Deftones came on and I was like, oh my God, we got to go. We got to get to work, right? And so I saw Head PE or Head before, obviously before I met him. And then we ended up ultimately, both bands were doing well. And then we ended up playing shows together and started becoming buddies. And then we paired nicely together. And so we would bring them up to Santa Barbara. They'd bring us to Orange County. This is how we did it, man, back then was Santa Barbara. We would meet bands like System of a Down and Incubus. And I don't think we did it with Cold Chamber, but there was a band called Manhole, which is Terry B. And then there was all these bands, including System. Yeah, yeah. So we would trade shows, including Head PE, right? We would just trade shows. You come to Santa Barbara? And we would soak people out. People come to Santa Barbara and they were just like, oh my God, this is great. Smoking hot chicks everywhere, free drinks, ecstasy. I mean, it was so rad, dude. Me and Darren both did ecstasy one night. We played this tiny place. It was about as wide as this room, maybe twice as deep, called Alex's Cantina. And we were, I mean, literally on ecstasy playing. It was so killer. Anyway, that's when it worked. It wouldn't work that way anymore. It turned into me smoking meth and squatting in Hollywood, losing my teeth. So, and it would return to that. I mean, it's just not, it doesn't
play
happen.
It out, Sonny, just right? Play it out.
Just doesn't happen again like that. Where the fuck was I? Just
I was talking to how you met Wes.
Wes, yeah. So we would trade shows, and then so when it came down to it, we all got record deals around the same time. We started touring, and System of a Down did it right. They held out. We jumped it like at deals. I mean, we got a good Geffen deal or whatever, but those guys did it right. They had a killer manager, and still have a killer manager. And that's just another like, oh man, we were so desperate to just we're just gonna get in the van, and System was like, we want to have a career. And plus, we're the most unique band pretty much that's ever come around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, anybody sound like that? No. Not before. And people might try it now, but it's like,
you're going to fail.
Yeah. You know, you can't try. You can't do it. So, I became buddies with them, and we went on tour a few times, and I would throw down. We went on tour in Europe together when I was in Amen. I would ride their bus and shit, and just throw down. So, finally, when it came down to it, when I had 10 months sober, I got a call from BC, from Head PE, and he's like, hey man, what's your party situation? Because we partied together, and I was like, I've been sober for 10 months. He goes, cool, you want to join Head PE? And I was all, sure. And so I joined the band. Turns out Chad had left the band, the one guitar player, and Wes was still there, and Wes and the singer were not on good terms, and that's why one of the reasons that the guitar player left, Chad. And I came in all fucking clean and sober. And again, I could hang, man. Like, this was 10 months in, and I was like, you know, I was doing all right, man. I'd set my boundaries if I needed to, but I really didn't need to. The singer, man, he took over the back lounge, as many singers do, which is kind of what they do. And I go, all right, you're the singer, you whatever. We need you to be on point because you're the face of the band. So do your thing. Your instrument's in your body, so to a degree, we're gonna let you do what you do. We need you to be awesome. Mm-hmm. I can tune my guitar, and if I break a string, I change it. If you fuck up your voice, you can't. What, you know? And so I'll give you some props. And so that dude was so cool, though, and he smoked weed every day. I mean, literally, Nate Dogg, Snoop style, smoked all the time. And he was so cool. I go, hey, Jared, man, you know, I'm sober, right? So every day I have a spiritual practice, man. So is it okay if I use the back lounge for like 30 minutes a day? And he's like, absolutely, man. And so he's like, just as long as I can get like 10 minutes to, you know, get out. And I'm like, got it. And so each day, it was usually in the afternoon because we play late and I get up at 1 or whatever, eat some food and go, hey, Jared, and he'd go, cool. And he would bail out, do whatever. And all I needed was 30 minutes. Hmm. I would read like three meditation books, daily readers, like Daily Reflections, which is based in AA. Emmett Fox, which was, I was doing Contrary Action because I didn't and still don't believe in the Christian God, although this Jesus guy interests me, the things that he said, yeah. or that people say he said, and the stories of that are told in some of the more Eastern doctrine or the more, Eastern scriptures about a man who traveled over there, who was from the West and meditated and shit, you know, maybe for 18 yeah. years and all this stuff. I don't know if you know anything about that stuff, but that interests me. But I was doing what's called contrary action, so I was reading some Christian-based, albeit a scientific view of Christianity with Emmett Fox. I was reading some of that stuff, and I had a Bible that I would read the Proverbs. I would read whatever day of the month it was, I would read that chapter. Proverbs are rad, like a way of living. I'm not sure if any, you know, if you guys are familiar, but it's rad. And then there was another like 365 Tao, like I had a Taoist book. And I'd read those, and I would meditate for 15, 20 minutes every day. And there's a bong right here, and there's a styrofoam cup with cigarettes in it, and you know, some beer cans over here, and I'm sitting there going, meditating for 20 minutes. And you know, I walked through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't fear evil. I wasn't afraid, man. Mm-hmm. I was able to do it, and I did it for 15 years. My first 15 years of sobriety, I toured.
Yeah.
There was a couple times where it was like, yo, like when somebody was chopping lines up behind my head, and I was like, yo, do me a favor, tell me you're gonna do that, and I'll leave, or get in the fucking back lounge. Yeah. There was a couple buddies that I won't name them, but they were. I was like, what the fuck are y'all doing, chopping shit behind my head? And they were like, sorry, man. You know, we're drunk. I'm like, cool. You are, so go in the back lounge, you dumbasses.
Yeah.
That happened once, and then the only times, there's been two times where I was actually like really probably close to drinking, and I was and I didn't really know until I went, oh my God. The first one was completely unconscious. I had around 3 months sober. I was on Sunset Strip. Right. I had taken my girlfriend's sister to see a show because I had a hookup with the Roxy. And I didn't want to see the band, so I walked her in and was like, hey, I'm going to go to the Hustler store and get a coffee and get a coffee and look at magazines or whatever. They have a very nice periodical section.
I'm sure that's why you were there.
Yeah, really was, but they also have other things. I went down there, and I'm coming back up the hill, and I see on the rocks, the bar on top of the Roxy, and I'm like, wait a minute, Melody's working tonight. She'll totally, I'm going to go have a drink. And then I went, oh, shit, I'm sober. Like, oh, fuck. Like, I forgot. Or,
yeah.
And I wasn't like, oh, man, I want to drink. But I was like, oh, bing. I'll go see the homegirl. And she'd been sober for years already, but she was a bartender. And so I was like, oh, shit, I'm sober. Instead, I'll go and talk to her because she's sober. And so I went and hung out. Hey, what's up? And talked to her for a few, went home. And then there was another time where I was acting out, against my true nature. I was not doing well on the road. I was acting out with women, and I was so clean and sober, but I was not being, I'm trying to be as general as possible. I was fucking around on tour, and I almost drank because of that.
Sure.
I'm so grateful that I didn't, but I was, I was at a breaking point, and I almost drank, and I did, and I fucking called it off, and like called my sponsor, and was like, dude, I've been lying this whole time. I got to get honest, and I got honest. This is when I had around 7 years, and I changed. I was literally changed. Like, I'm still that guy. Like, I am single, and I'm not trying to get as much. I'm not trying to just go out and bone as many chicks. I actually want like real connection. I've had some sex, maybe more than some, maybe less than others. It wasn't, you know, like most of, like 49% of it was amazing. 51% was kind of like, I could have done without that.
Yeah, we were ironically kind of having that conversation on the way down here.
And it could be 51-49, depending on how, you know, it could go either way.
Depends on the day.
Yeah.
Depends on the day. So you go way back with Wes.
With Wes, right, back to Wes. Yeah,
so rock to recovery, dude, man.
And so I ended up playing with the head PE, and he actually was not sober, and I was still hanging with him. Like, there were nights where he was on blow and just was like yakking my ear off, and I would just be sitting there hanging out, or I'd go to bed if it was time to go to bed. Mm. And he and the singer ultimately got in a pretty gnarly battle, and he left the band, and then I was the only guitar player in the band for a while. Ultimately, I did not like where the direction of the band was going, and I look currently see what Jared's been doing for the last few years, and I go, glad I did not stick around for that. Excuse me. And so I left the band. And I went back to work as a vet tech, man. And a few months after that, I get a call from, actually, maybe about a year after that, I get a call from Morgan Rose. In fact, it was January 19th, my friend Whit Crane's birthday of 2005. And Morgan Rose goes, "Hey, man, what's your party situation?" Yeah, anybody who's seen any other podcasts with me, this is you'll hear this because this is my story.
Yeah.
Morgan's like, "What's your party?" I go, "Man, I've been sober for 3 years." He goes, "Cool, you want to join Seven Dust?" It's always a drummer, and they always ask me what my party situation is, and then they ask me to join the band. And so I was like, "Yeah, sure, sounds good, bro." Sent me the demos of the pre-production of the record that I was going to go start recording with them in 11 days.
That was what, Next, right?
It was Next, yeah. Yes. And a list, like a set list of the songs that they do. So within 11 days, 12 days, I was in Florida doing a record with Seven Dust in Orlando, around Orlando. And that was killer, man. And now to tie that in back with Wes, I stayed in touch with Wes because he ended up getting sober. And so we would stay in touch with each other. We were friends, you know, we'd stay in touch with each other. I was in Seven Dust doing records. I was going to meetings on tour. It was killer, man. I had a great time. Seven Dust, I mean, besides touring with Whitfield Crane of Ugly Kid Joe, who's my homie, who's like, God damn, I love that guy. I got to see the world with that dude. And he was actually at the time doing an experiment on himself where he was like, what would happen if I didn't drink or do coke or smoke cigarettes and exercise? And what happened was his band got back together, did a record, and he now has a band again. They're not like killing the game, but they do records, they tour, they do, you know, and he gets to live his rad life, which, and I love that guy. But besides that, playing with Seven Dust was my favorite touring because those songs are, I'm built for that shit. It's so fun. And Vinny was my partner in crime, especially on stage.
Yeah.
And Vinny's the one that partied the hardest, and I was clean and sober. And I'm probably closest now with Clint. I mean, I am closest with Clint. You know, the guy that I replaced and then replaced me, just ironic or not. But I loved touring with those guys, man. It was so fun. Man, you know, jumping fucking 18 feet in the air. And
just, best way I can put it to people that don't, it's like a fucking drum corps that just bah, 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 and it just hits you. And when you go and see it, I remember the first time I saw them, finally saw them live, Seasons album. I had just got my first tattoo and they opened with Black. So that, you know, when that dun, 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 kicks in. So I got this huge sweaty dude grinded into the tattoo on my shoulder. And it's like, fuck it, I'm at Seven Dust. Let's go.
Yeah.
But that was great. I mean, shoot, I think I saw you play with them 8 or 9 times.
Excellent.
So
we were firing on all cylinders right then too. Yeah, we were
some great shows.
We were killing it. Yeah, that was so fun. So after Clint came back, I went to school and blah blah blah. And Wes had gotten sober. And let's see, I think he was in Korn in 2011.
Right.
Touring with Korn. And now you guys know who Tommy Vext is?
Yep.
So Tommy had gotten
Formerly
Bad Wolves, right? Tommy had hit bottom on my floor in Venice in 2009. So he was sober for a couple years. And I was sponsoring the drummer of In This Moment. So, and Tommy went on tour to sing a song with In This Moment every night. It was a single they had on this tour of Music as a Weapon, Korn, Disturbed, Seven Dust, In This Moment.
Mm.
And so we had a bunch of sober cats on that tour, Wes, Clint, Tommy and the drummer of In This Moment. It's Jeff Fab. He plays for Black Label Society. I'll just say his name. Jeff Fab. He's rad. And so they would have meetings, and they would on the road, and they would call me, and they put the phone on the table and have a meeting, and we called ourselves the SFG, the St. Francis Group. I have an SFG tattoo on my leg because we would do the St. Francis prayer at the end of the meeting. You guys know the St. Francis prayer?
I don't have it memorized.
It's the one that's like. God, make me an instrument of your peace, that where there's hatred, I might bring love, where there's wrong, I can bring the spirit of forgiveness, where there's discord, I may bring harmony, where there's doubt, faith, despair, hope, shadows, light, sadness, joy, and on and on. It's a really rad formula, actually. It's like very scientific in my view. And so we called ourselves that. And so I stayed in touch with those guys. And then this is a fun story too, because our buddy, a year later, our buddy Randy Bly was arrested in the Czech Republic. And so instead of going online and going, free Randy Bly and all this, fuck Czech Republic, we did what's called a gratitude list. So we did an gratitude email chain, and we included Randy's email in there. So we just sent 10 things every day that we were grateful for. So all these sober musicians, including Randy Bly.
Lamb of God?
Yeah. Lamb of God. Sorry if anybody didn't know. Lamb of God singer. And then when he finally got out of the fucking Czech prison, he got his email and he's like, good Lord, what's all this? And so we started an email chain for St. Francis Group, and we've added to it. There's other guys that I'll leave nameless who are in the group. And that's continuing to this day. We still do it, and it's huge. And we have meetings, we have Zoom meetings together. And so I stayed in touch with Wes through that. Now, in the subsequent years, I did join Ugly Kid Joe. I was engineering and co-producing their like return EP called Stairway to Hell, instead of Highway to Hell or Stairway to Heaven. Stairway to Hell, Mikey, very clever. See what they did there?
I see what you did there.
I like it. So yeah, I was co-producing and engineering that, and Whit Crane's like, hey man, you should go on tour with us. Dave, the other guitar player, can't tour because he's a producer and he's working. You should go. He said, don't sit in the studio and get fat. Come on the road with me and see the world. And I was like, okay. So in 2012, we went to Europe and did all these killer shows. And so I'm, again, out in the world. He would go to meetings with me. He's not an alcoholic, but he was on a little vision quest. Mm-hmm. He'd go to meetings with me. And then he'd like talk about how hard he drank. He's like, am I one of you? Am I in the club? And I'm like, sorry, dude. Because you're not planning your next drink. You're not like obsessing on it. You're not white knuckling. And he's like, oh, man. He's so funny like that. And so I love that guy. And so I stayed in touch with Wes. And then in 2013, man, my dog, Buckley, got cancer. Two or three weeks later, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. Like a month after that, Buckley died. My dog, Buckley, who's my favorite creature in the world. A few months after that, my dad died from complications of cancer. In the midst of that, between those two deaths, Wes told me about this idea that he had. He's like, hey, man, because he had gotten replaced by Head, came back in Korn. And so he's like, I got this idea, bro, Rock to Recovery. And he said it, and it was like a light bulb went off in my head, bing. He's like, well, I'm going to go in and write songs with people in treatment centers and mental health facilities. And we were specifically, when he started the nonprofit, on December 12th of 2012, so it's 12-12-12, which is kind of cool for 12-steppers. We like that kind of shit. Mm. It was really to work with veterans. That was his main idea, and then it blossomed from there. And he told me about it in May of 13, and I was like, bro, I want in. I have a journal entry. And I'm like, I want in, dude. Like, I want in. And he goes, all right, cool. I'm just starting. He hadn't even started his first group. He said, I'm starting next month. So I started shadowing him, and I was still touring and stuff and whatever, but I started shadowing him, and then eventually it grew, and then we got an LA client, and so I launched my first Rock to Recovery session in May of 2014. And so if anyone doesn't know what Rock to Recovery is, it's a nonprofit organization and a for-profit organization, two separate arms. And what we do on both sides is we're group facilitators. So imagine I come into a treatment center, there's a group of six people, however many. I got a couple small guitar amps, combo amps. I got like a K10, which is like a powered monitor, 10-inch speaker, keyboard, plug it into the thing, microphone, plug it, some percussion. And I sit down and we start a band together. It's not for musicians, it's for everyone. Hmm. And so, I do groups with two people, like the three of us would sit here and we would write a song together. And you would play the bass on the keyboard. I don't know if you play any instruments anyway, but
I do not.
Okay, no. But I would put you on bass on keyboard and write on the keys. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4. And we'd find a bass line. We'd find the style. I'd get you on lyrics and vocals, and I'd play guitar, right? And we'd write a song together. And man, what happens in these groups is magical, because everybody loves music. Everyone does. Yeah. It speaks to us, no matter how old, no matter what color, what gender, where we're from. It speaks to us all. It's the connection. It's the connective tissue is music. Math might be the universal language, but music is the universal language of love, right? The real connector, man, right? And so we write songs with people, dude, and it's as a means of recovery. And we record the song in real time. We write it and record it right there. And then we upload them to SoundCloud. So we have a Rock to Recovery page on SoundCloud. We have over 21,000 songs done since 2013.
Nice.
Yeah, man. Really cool. It's incredible. During the pandemic, we opened up the virtual realm, and so it's more of a digital production kind of thing. There's a website called Soundtrap that we use that has a killer loops library. Like, if we were remote, we could meet in Soundtrap and write and record a song in there. I do that mostly with teens.
That's cool.
But we work with Air Force Wounded Warriors. We work with the Semper Fi and America's Fund, so we do a lot of work with veterans. We work at the VA. These are mostly donated groups that we do, because we are a nonprofit, so you can donate to us at www.rocktorecovery.org. And we do this work, man. It's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, it's cool. No, I was curious because we definitely wanted to know more about it and maybe get involved and everything else. So that's
I told you guys awesome. I was a talker.
Yeah.
So we started it off and I was like, you're all rocked recovery. I'm all, yeah. I did I got flown to Atlanta right before the pandemic, a couple months before the pandemic, by this guy called Scott Bowling. Has a show called Good Company on YouTube.
Okay.
And he flew me out there and I was like, bro, I'm a talker, so can we start off with Rock to Recovery? Can we start with that? And he's all, sure. So we started with it because I wanted to, because I'll get going like I did. And I'm like, oh yeah, Rock to Recovery.
Oh yeah, time is up, so Rock to Recovery.
How long is it? It's been 3 hours, Sonny. Jesus Christ.
Oh, shit. No, it's all good, man.
I don't know if it's a gift, but I got the gab.
Hey.
And so today, man, what I'd like to share too is the stuff we talked about with, like, long-term recovery puts us in a position where we're human, mm-hmm. and I need therapy. I want therapy, right? And especially, it really happened when the pandemic hit, because I have coronary artery disease. I didn't even talk about the heart attacks that I've had with you guys, and how, like, through that experience with heart attacks, you know, my spirituality may have deepened, but also my anxiety and depression just exploded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm broken, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm, you know, like those thoughts. And so when the pandemic hit, I have 5 stents. So when the pandemic hit, my doctors were like, don't go around people, right? I feel completely comfortable now. I think if I got COVID now, I would whip its ass.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, and I'm, I got the vaccine and all that shit, and I, you know, make sensible choices, and I imagine you guys do too. So whatever. I was locked down, man, and I was at a point where I was going out of my fucking skin. And a colleague of mine, friend of mine, from Rock Recovery, was like, "Hey, you seem really edgy. Are you okay?" And I was like, "No, I'm not okay." And she said, "How about, would you consider therapy?" And I said, "Yeah, but I've checked into some, and I don't like who I've. I'm not the traditional talk therapies doesn't." I'm not, it doesn't resonate for me. I got a sponsor. I got connections with other alcoholics, man, that I don't hold back, but I don't have something to use besides the 12 steps. And the 12 steps do not claim to solve all of your problems.
Mm-hmm.
It puts us in a different realm, but we're still human. It doesn't claim that shit. So I don't put it on AA to fix everything. People go, oh yeah, it's good for all. I'm like, okay, but it's not for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I swear by it for my alcoholism and recovery. So she was like, what about this therapist who I had actually done a session with her? I went to a session with my friend as the male, as a representation of men, because she had trauma around men.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there and I was like, I played the role of like a protector of her. She was molested by her dad.
Mm.
And so I protected her and I like hit this cube and shit. And I got to connect with her therapist. And so she's like, what about this therapist? And I was all, oh my God, I'd love to. And I've been doing therapy with her since May of 20, and it's changed my life.
That's awesome.
Brought up some really gnarly shit.
Oh yeah.
But changed my life, and I have tools to use that are in conjunction with all the tools I have for recovery. But there's more to it. It's different.
Yeah.
It's another realm.
Yeah. And it's
it's another martial art. It's like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and boxing.
Totally different. But I find it necessary.
Absolutely.
I find it necessary.
Yeah, and they mix well. They go together.
Yeah,
complement.
And it creates, like you said, being human. It creates more of who and what you are. It's like your style of living and conducting yourself. It's none of this shit is one size fits all.
Yeah, man. What's your style?
Yeah.
The art of fighting without fighting.
I agree, man. I think it's for everybody. Like I said earlier, like I feel like everybody would get something as long as you're with the right therapist. Because there is wrong ones, but if you're with the right one, yeah, you absolutely could.
Yeah, there's ones that are wrong for you, and then there's just shitty therapists.
But that's the caveat. Yeah,
we ain't calling nobody out. Well, I think we'll just have to do a part two, because otherwise we'll sit and go all day. But
sorry, not sorry.
You listen to the podcast. You know we do some fun random questions. So.
Oh, fun random questions.
Well, you get the random questions. Oh, Mikey, you're up first.
If they were to make a movie about you, who would you cast to play yourself?
What age, though? There's different ages, right?
Right now. We'll just do it right now. Because I've been getting that question a lot, and I haven't thought it through, so we'll do that.
It's the guy from Breaking Bad. Jesse.
Oh yeah. Why am I trying to?
Is he on Alpha Dog as well?
Yeah. Is he? Why can't I remember his name?
He's the older brother from Alpha Dog.
It is Aaron.
Aaron Paul.
Is he on Alpha Dog?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, let's look.
Because I haven't seen Breaking Bad, but I want to say that's the same guy.
I didn't watch Breaking Bad either.
Aaron Paul.
Yep, that's
I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see
how old is
Paul.
He? 79? That's close enough.
Close enough.
Because I don't look like
44?
I'm
44?
42. 42. I'm 50.
There you go.
The 42-year-old can play me right now. Thanks for that's a great question.
Yeah.
Because people go, you know you remind me of? I'm all Jesse from Breaking Bad. They're like, yeah, how do you know?
Hey, Pinkman.
Aaron Paul.
Next time I text you if I need to check in with someone or something, I'll just, hey, Pinkman, what the fuck's going on?
Oh, yeah, Pinkman. That was his name, Jesse Pinkman?
Yeah, Jesse Pinkman. Uh-huh. Okay, you're stuck on a deserted island. Some reason you have the ability to watch movies and listen to music, but you only get one movie and one album. Okay. What are they?
All right.
One movie, one
Fight
music
Club.
Album. Okay.
I got it just because there's a bunch, right? I'm just going to say it, but I'm not going to go, and if it wasn't that, it would be, but I'm just going to give that one, Fight Club. And then an album. Oh, God. I don't know.
That's so easy for a musician, right?
Yeah.
Influenced by so much different stuff.
So easy? Oh, man. Let's say...
We've let people cheat with compilations before.
But I'd need different genres. I don't know if there's compilations of different genres. Maybe I want to go with Wish You Were Here, Pink Floyd.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know you were a Floyd fan.
Yeah, I love David Gilmour, yeah.
I didn't know.
And that. I'd have to have something dynamic. Yeah. And that gets heavy in the way Pink Floyd does, but it's not.
Yeah.
I got more of a serious question.
Oh, shit, okay.
Would you rather fight one horse-sized chicken or 10 chicken-sized horses?
Wait, okay. Horse-sized...
Make sure a horse-sized chicken.
Or that's a serious question.
It's as serious as it gets, bro.
It's real, too, because the chicken can fuck you up. The horse-sized chicken. I would probably fight the chicken.
Really?
I think they're stupid. I think I could figure it out. But the
horses are smart.
I know, and they're 10... There's 10 of them.
If they get you on the ground, you're fucked.
And they got things. Yeah. I mean, they don't have claws, but they have the
hoofs.
They got the hooves.
The hooves. What do you call it? A hoof?
Yeah.
Remember in Goodfellas?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, you got his, what was it? Like a paw? Or do we hit a deer? This is stuck in the, what is
hey,
it, a hoof?
Hey, Benny, looks like somebody we know.
Hey. This guy's looking this way, this guy's looking that way. This guy's like, hey, what do you want from me?
What do you want from me?
I did an Instagram post like that. I was sitting, I had my dog who was kind of looking that way, and my friend's Rottweiler looking that way, and I was looking at the camera, and then I did I did my picture, and then that
the
painting.
The caption, yeah.
And I had to put the dialogue there.
I like this. You know why? Just look the other way and say, what do you want from me?
What do you want from me?
Oh, shit. Last random question. If you could have any one superpower, what would it be?
All right, so I ask this question in Rock to Recovery sometimes.
Oh.
I need help with it because it's one power, right? I have one power.
One. Yeah.
So the power is that I go like this and touch someone and they realize the things that they do that are cruel.
Oh.
They realize their cruelty and they go, oh my God, I'm gonna stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that I want that. And I need some maybe like somebody that has teleportation powers. Is that yours?
That was mine.
Oh, great. Then you can help me.
I thought you were going the route that he said because he was saying healing.
Mine would be healing, like healing other people, not myself.
But which would make me feel like a dick because I just want to teleport. I want to avoid airports and all that. I'm in New York. I'm in Texas.
Well, then how you pay it forward is you teleport us to heal people.
Yeah.
And then I help people who are cruel, like... people in dog factories where they kill and eat dogs.
Oh, dude, I'm on board with that. I'll go with you
markets.
For that. Yeah.
So I need you to teleport me and I can walk over and go, hey, man. And they go, oh, my God. Oh, what have I done? Stop. Everyone, stop killing. Stop doing.
I don't think it'd be that calm if I went there.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
I just want them to stop.
Oh,
I don't want to kill them.
I feel you.
I don't want to do what they're doing. I want them to stop.
Yeah.
My hero is a guy called Mark Ching. You guys ever heard of that guy?
Mm-mm.
Veterinarian, Chinese American. He's American Chinese descent, but he would go. He doesn't do it anymore. He would go to. It's called the Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation. He would go to these countries and pose as a dog meat buyer, and he would infiltrate and he would buy dogs just to get them the fuck out of there.
Oh, that's awesome!
So he went into literally hell. Now think about hell, people. It's this imaginary place where if I don't know, kill myself, I go there forever and am tortured and ripped apart and burned and frozen and took all the things and whatever. Well, this guy went to that hell for dogs, where they were thrown into boiling vats of oil and water, and just, and they had their arms cut off while their legs cut off while they're still alive. This is happening right now. At this moment, this is happening. That guy would go there and do that, and he did it so many times, and he brought all these dogs back, and he was tortured, man, and he has wife and kids. And sometimes he'd go in there, and these guys are demons. Mm. And like, he would be posing, and like, he got into some sketchy shit where the guns were pulled on him and all this other stuff. And so that dude's my fucking hero.
What country is this in?
All kinds. He went to Cambodia, he went to China, he went to all these, you know, mostly sadly Asian countries.
Yeah.
But that's where they, you know, they eat dogs. But I would also do it. I would do it in America. I would go to a factory farm where they're electrocuting pigs and they're shoving pigs. I'd go over and go, "Hey, man," and the dude would be like, "Fuck." I'd go right downtown L.A., Uncle John's or Farmer John's, you know, and I would just go, "Hey, dude," and they would see that pigs are sentient beings. They love their kids. They know exactly what's coming. The cow knows exactly what's fucking going on.
That's what I always said. Those animals are smart and they know what's happening.
Of course,
and
they're all smart.
That's my reasoning on not eating meat.
Yeah,
it's right there. It's just sympathy for animals.
Well, don't worry about that. I ate a shit ton of my first 42 years of my life. I'm not a carnivore. No human is a carnivore. That means you only eat meat, and that means that you have razor sharp teeth in the back. And you have not just these canines. What am I going to kill with these? I have canines. Okay, go kill something by biting its neck and then eat it right then and there. Yeah. Go kill an antelope, buddy. Do it, and then I'll give you the props for a carnivore. You went to Vaughn's and got a tri-tip that some dickhead chopped up and had killed and chopped up. You're not a fucking... I'm not impressed. Yeah. I did that shit. I used to say animals... I love animals. They taste great. I used to say that shit. Bacon tastes good. All that bullshit, man. And I hit bottom with that. And that was around my dad dying, actually. Mm-hmm. I was literally going to see my dad die in the ICU. And I had a fucking spiritual awakening opening a menu. And I went, "I'm not eating meat." It was like somebody touched me and went, "You're not eating meat." I went, "I'm not eating meat." And it was over. It was weird and rad. But for 42 years, I ate bacon-wrapped everything. Yeah. Deep-fried fucking everything. And so... yeah, man, that's what I would do. I would go to these. I'd go right downtown. I'd just go, "Hey, bro," and people would see the how they're cruel, and they would stop doing it. I had the biggest spiritual awakening I've ever had. I was at the Gentle Barn, in it's out in the fucking desert in L.A., Canyon Country. And I walked into this, and I was vegan at the time. I was vegan a couple years at the time, but I walked into this barn, and it's a sanctuary for rescued farm animals. There's a bunch of them, and they're fantastic, all of them. Gentle Barn. I walk in and I look over, and there's a cow the size of that bed. It's 3,000 pounds, and he can't get up because he's been genetically bred. I look over, you guys, I have never in my life felt like I was in the physical presence of God. I don't care how that sounds to anybody. I do not care how that sounds. I'm not Hindu, but maybe I am.
A sacred cow.
Maybe so, man. But I walked, after eating all of his friends, I saw that cow and I went, and he was called Gentle Ben. And I went over to this cow, you guys, and it was places full of people and cows. And I fell on this cow and I hugged him and I wept. And I said, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." I mean, out loud, like weeping, saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And I kid you not, he leaned into me. And I wept and I sobbed and I got up. People were just like smiling at me, and I went like this, and I like wiped it on my heart, and I was like, "All right, man." And I went about the day, and I hung out with goats and chickens, and a turkey gave me a hug and shit. And then at the end of the night, or end of the day, I saw the owner, the founder. Her name is Ellie Lax, and she and I was like, "Ellie, I got to tell you this story." And I told her what happened, and she's looking at me, and she was like, "Oh, honey, you needed some forgiveness. He forgives you. You're forgiven." That fucking cow forgave me for eating all of his friends. Literally, I was like, "I'm sorry for every single thing that I've done and I knew that I was doing it. I knew it was wrong or whatever, and I did it." And I'm not trying to, nobody has to, this is my experience. But I sure would like to touch people and have them go, "Yeah, I'm not going to do that anymore." Now, if I was on a deserted island, yes, I would eat meat, you fucking idiots. How about this is my question to people when they go, "If you were on a deserted island, you had to eat meat, would you?" Yes. Now, if you were in an advanced civilization where no animal ever had to suffer to be murdered by another person so that you could get nutrition, would you eat an animal? Do you understand the question?
I do.
Yeah.
Would you? Because you are in that civilization.
Yeah.
I'm not on a deserted island, but you're in a civilization where no animal has to suffer. I did not know this was going to turn into a vegan rant. Sorry, guys. Sorry about that. You don't have to be vegan. I'm just saying it's best for me. And, you know, every now and then I do eat, like, my friends got an organic, my friends have a farm, and I saw the ducks and I saw the chickens, and my friend's like, yeah, those are the, and I'm like, I would probably eat something with those chicken or duck eggs, and so he made a frittata, and I ate a little wedge of frittata. It's not a religion for me.
Right.
It's not a religion. It was a spiritual thing at first, but it's not a religion. That's why when you said, oh, you're a vegan, I said, no, I am vegan.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a vegan. Because right. Then it's like, well, what kind of vegan? There's raw vegan.
Sure.
I do honey, and yeah. Like, fuck off. I'm not, I'm just, really what I am
it's
is,
what you are. That's what you are.
It's a conscientious omnivore.
You
are
you.
Yeah. There you go.
I eat whatever I want to eat whenever I want to eat it.
Sure.
You can't eat that. Yes, I can. I'm just choosing not to.
That's what I get the question.
You
too, like,
can't drink. Yes, I can. I'm just not gonna.
They're like all, oh, Mikey, there's nothing here. There's something. You can't eat that, huh? I'm like, well, I mean, yes, I can eat it. I just am deciding not to.
Yeah.
For the past 15 years, I have the ability to consume said thing.
I could eat that fucking pillow over there if I wanted to, but I'm not going to do it.
Deep fried. It might taste good.
Oh, you can't eat that. That's just my favorite thing is, oh, crap, you can't eat that. It's like, yeah, no, I can. I'm just not. It's only been about 15 years, so I'm still getting used to it.
Hey, but, yeah. All right.
You won't eat it.
Wait,
one more thing.
One more. Go ahead.
You know, I have one more.
Go ahead.
People say,
go ahead.
Drinking's not an option today. Just like eating meat's an option today. I am over 21 years old. I have enough money in my pocket where I can go and buy alcohol. It is an option.
Right.
Yeah.
I, thankfully, today have been given the power of choice. I can choose not to drink and use today. That is recovered. I have been restored to sanity where I go, do I want to stab myself in the eye with this pen? No. Do I want to drink that or smoke that? No.
Right.
Choice.
I was going to ask you for the words of inspiration and close it out.
Did I just give it to you?
You just did.
That's pretty good.
That's perfect.
Cool. I thought you were like, we're done. You were like, here's one more. Any words of inspiration? There you go.
Yeah.
Recovery. It's possible, man.
You can do it.
You can do it.
Sonny Mayo, for those that haven't seen yet, we piled into a hotel room. We were unable to secure a bigger location. He was like, fuck it, dude, let's go guerrilla style. Let's just sit down and have a good talk. And we sat and talked for over 2 hours. And it was a blast.
Guerrilla style. That's what I was trying to think of the word of, you know, fuck it. We just went and I'm trying to think of it guerrilla style. It was a blast. And not only was he a sweet guy, but he introduced us to probably one of my favorite restaurants, or one of the best restaurants that I've ever been to, which is now one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Won't say the name because they don't pay us, but it was fire.
Yeah. Sonny, of course, as he said, a vegan. And so we went and tried a vegan restaurant, never been, and had a great meal and hung out. So it was our first real interview where it became a day.
Well, it was a day. And you know what was trippy about this? I'm not a vegan, nor is Jason's, but we're just like, yeah, it's something new. We tried. I'm a vegetarian, so I'm close, but I'm not a vegan because I do drink milk and eat cheese and shit like that. But when I got the lasagna at this vegan place, I said, what's the substitute for the ricotta cheese? And they're like, oh, cashews.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you would have had no idea.
No idea.
And it was incredible how creative, artistic the whole thing was. And this isn't a podcast about the food that we ate. I was just blown away by it. And thank you, Sonny, for introducing me to this undisclosed place.
Yeah. We had a great time, and he's such a good dude, and hopefully, eventually, probably we'll have him come on back through, maybe some other people that are a part of Rock to Recovery. It's a great program for those that listen that maybe have a treatment facility or you are part of one in some way, shape, or form. Rock to Recovery is a really great thing to look into. It doesn't just have to be for addiction. It could be mental health and everything. Sonny, his team, they come out, they set up instruments, and these people actually record music right there, and regardless of skill level. And yeah, so it's really, awesome. Really pretty cool. So definitely something to look forward to, or
definitely something to look into. And we just really thank him for his time. So
thank you, Sonny. You
know. Yeah, absolutely. Again, thank you guys for listening here either on Apple Podcast app, Spotify. You can rate us now on there. We appreciate it. Showing we are in the top 50 trending podcasts on Spotify right now, and that's all to you guys. So we thank you very much for those ratings and the reviews that you leave. Of course, Google Podcasts. We are everywhere you get podcasts. And don't forget, if you want these video full interviews, you can join our YouTube channel. It's 99 cents a month. The videos are unedited. It is the full recording of everything. There are no commercials, and it's all there for you, and it's only 99 cents a month, and it helps Mikey and I with our travel costs when we go out of studio and do these in person.
Yeah, I'm more of a visual guy. I like the YouTube, so check it out. If you're a visual, you'll appreciate it.
Absolutely. And speaking of visual, why not read Carlos Vieira's autobiography, Knocking Doors Down, that inspired this podcast, all about his struggle with his cocaine addiction, and more so about what he did when he got clean and doing things within his own community and trying to make things better, including starting the Carlos Vieira Foundation, those three programs that we work hand in hand with. And of course, all the proceeds from the book 100% go back to the Carlos Vieira Foundation, and that link is in the podcast description. Uncle Mikey, anything else?
No, I'm going home.
On that note, keep knocking doors down.
The guests on Knocking Doors Down are sharing their stories and helping start the conversation about mental health, and therefore are working to end the stigma. This is the goal of our partner, the Carlos Vieira Foundation, through their Race to End the Stigma campaign. The Carlos Vieira Foundation created the Race to End the Stigma campaign to not only change the way people perceive those who are living with mental illness, but also how those who are affected perceive themselves. The Carlos Vieira Foundation strives to support the mental health community through education, fundraising, and facilitating resources. The main program through the Race to End the Stigma campaign is a college scholarship program that encourages high school seniors to share their stories about mental health in an effort to end the stigma. For more info on this and how to get involved, check out carlosvierafoundation.org.